Feels like chicken up here now. Lord, help me focus. I bind the devil. And chicken Alfredo, I bind chicken Alfredo. Until after service. Hey, if you have your notes, would you get them ready? I've been teaching from the book of Hebrews, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, this whole month. Well, every service will be continuing on a Wednesday. Our Wednesdays have been off the charts. Powerful praise and just prophetic breakthroughs. It's been beautiful. This morning, we're going to continue our theme. We're in chapter 7, Jesus. They study the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 7. Now, just hang with me. I'm going to read through this, then we're going to talk about it. And it's going to help you. Jesus is the theme of the Bible, and Jesus is the theme of Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. It's in Genesis chapter 14, that story. To whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all. First being translated his name, King of Righteousness, then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. So the priest came and his name was King. He was a king priest. There'd never been one of those. It was forbidden by Jewish law for priests to operate as kings or kings to operate as priests until this guy showed us what God always had intended for his people. Without father, now talking about Melchizedek, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So someone that never dies, there's only been one of those, that's God. So this is not just a person, this is a theophany. We'll talk about that in a minute. But made like the Son of God remains a priest continually. So Melchizedek, the priesthood never ended. All Levites died, all sons of Aaron lived and died, but this guy never died. He had no mother, no father, no genealogy, no end of days. So in theology, we call this a Christophany. And a Christophany is just simply when Christ came before his incarnation for a temporal human experience, he put on an earth suit. Or a theophany, when God himself came. So it's God wearing earth clothes for a heavenly purpose for a short duration of time. That's what this is. So the significance of it, we'll see in just a moment. Now consider how great this man was. So this man, greater than Abraham, well, there was no one in Jewish tradition greater than Abraham or Moses. This had to be Christ. To whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That's the Mosaic law given now, 400 years later. That is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abram. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better or greater. And mortal men receive tithes, but there he received them of whom it is written that he lived. So someone who never died received tithes from Abraham. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Melchizedek. So Levi will be the great-great-great-great-grandson, hundreds of years later, of Abraham, through Abraham's action, paid tithes to this Melchizedek, this Christophany, to Christ himself. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? So if everything was perfect in the law, why did God establish a different way? So no one can reach God through the law. You only reach God through Christ and through the grace he gives us. The law was our schoolmaster. The law convicts us of our guilt, so grace can anoint us with our righteousness, okay? The law brings us to the point of knowing we need grace. So, verse 12. For the priesthood being changed. Everybody say, the priesthood is changed. Okay? So, the order of God, the way that God operated, has been changed. of necessity, there is also a change of law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. So Christ was born not a Levite or an inheritance of Aaron. He was of the tribe of Judah. So he had no, according to Levitical tradition, no rights toward priesthood, except he was in the order of Melchizedek. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. My gosh, underline that. The power of an endless life. The power, the man who could not die. The man who walked through death. Death could not hold him. Here's how he described it in Revelation chapter 1. Christ saying, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Sin was not found in him. Therefore, death could not keep him. And he has the power of an endless life. And the moment you said yes to Christ, the power of endless life, eternal life came into you. When you shut your eyes in this world, you open your world and eyes in that world, you're never going to die. People that know Jesus, yes, your body will die if Christ tarries, but your real person will never die. You have endless, eternal life in you. For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now that said about Christ 5 or 6 times, saying there's a new priesthood, not by Levi, not by Aaron, but by Melchizedek. So he's witnessing now how Christ became a high priest, that God had an order, that God called him, and God declared over him priesthood. On the one hand, there is the annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. So in the old priesthood, so look at me. So old priesthood, people couldn't get to God except through the priest. So they would bring their offerings, their sacrifices, their prayers to the priest, and the priest would bring them to God. But now we have a different priest. And now you can go right to heaven because of Jesus. I am not your priest. I'm your pastor. I'm your brother. We are together. My prayers aren't heard any more special than yours. I don't have a hotline to heaven. I don't have a big Jesus and you a little Jesus. Y'all with me? We have a new priesthood. And it's all because of Jesus. And anybody can reach him. And anybody can access God through him. Now, that's just nothing but good news, good news, good news, good news. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Now, please get this. Evangelical Christianity teaches that we're saved by grace. Only by grace are we saved through faith. And the faith we have is the gift of God. Okay? So But we have a tendency, the moment we get saved, to add the law to us. Well, if you don't worship, the real Sabbath's on Saturday. Yes. But the moment you came to Christ, every day is a Sabbath. Monday's a Sabbath, 2 days a Sabbath. Every day is the day of rest and peace and relationship with God. Every day is a holy day. Every day is a Passover. Every day is a day of atonement. Every single day. You with me? So nothing was ever perfected through the law. It wasn't meant to be. The law doesn't give us another way to God. Jesus is the only way to God. Okay? And that's our better hope. Verse 20, inasmuch as he was not made a priest according to oath. For they have that become priests, become priests without oath. So guys, they were sworn in the office by a high priest or by the leadership to their priestly function. But he with an oath by him who had said, the Lord has sworn and will not change. You are priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So the Holy Spirit's pounding that into them. Jesus is a legitimate priest. And there was a whole order you don't even know about. It's called the priesthood of Melchizedek. What does that mean? God's better way. The priesthood is changing. We're changing from clergy, me, to laity, you. We're changing. for me having a ministry and you helping, you know, support my ministry. All of us have a ministry. We're changing from made and have a destiny. Oh, pastor's got such a great destiny. So do you. See, I grew up in the system when the only people that were called were preachers. The calling of God, strong. I have a calling. I do. It was supernaturally given to me. All my childhood, I'd be sitting in the back row of a church and visiting. And little boy, you're called. I know. So I know all my life. But you're called too. And your destiny may not be doing this. Don't want this unless you're called to this. Okay? Because this is harder than it looks. Just like your thing. See, when you're called to something, when you're anointed for something, God enables you to do hard things, make it look easy. But it's never easy. Being a business person, a teacher, educator, mother, or father, artist, whatever it is. Okay. Let's go on. Preach it to myself. Hurry up, maiden. Verse 22. But so much more, Jesus has become a surety. A surety is a Hebrew, Greek word for a guarantee of a better covenant. So everything God gave Moses was good. It just wasn't complete. The law is not bad. It's just not perfect. So the Bible is a book of covenants. The Edenic covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Noetic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant. And then we come to the New Testament, a new covenant. And the new covenant better than all the covenants. And Jesus himself stands behind the new covenant. He's the guarantor of it. You're not quite getting this. Jesus himself is the guarantor of your salvation, of your heavenly residence, of your earthly blessing, of the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, of the promises of God being yours, of every promise of the Bible as yours. He guarantees it. Okay? Verse 23, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. So a guy dies, a new priest would come. He dies, a new priest would come. But Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Woo-hoo-hoo! So get this. The priesthood has changed, but the priest never did. We changed from Moses to Jesus, from Aaron to Melchizedek. And our high priest never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever the same. He's always good. He's always in a good mood. He'll always forgive anybody, anytime, any place. He'll always heal anybody, anytime, any place. So he's unchanging in the functions of his heavenly calling, which is for us. Verse 25, therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. This is such a great sentence. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So that's just so great. He saves to the uttermost. So uttermost, get like, so two words. He saves completely and forever. He saves me completely and he saves me forever, for eternity. My salvation is complete and my salvation is unending because of Jesus. You know what I mean? See, I won't wake up tomorrow. And Jesus said, oh, I don't want to save him anymore. Take it. No. Completely saved and eternally saved. Therefore, he ever lives. His heavenly function is making intercession for someone's praying for you today. You have a great high priest. His name is Jesus. His name is Yahshua HaMashiach. He's praying for you by name. He's calling out to the Father. Father, maiden is mine. He's my son. He's my anointed one. He's got destiny. He calls out whenever the devil says, trying to condemn. Jesus said, I rebuke you. He's mine. Father, Michael Maiden is mine. Marry me. He's making intercession. What is he crying out for? Everything he does. died to give me. He's crying out to be done in me. He's praying those things. He's declaring those things. He's voicing those things to the Father. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us. Five things, who is holy, harmless, would be innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So Christ, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated, and exalted, who does not need daily as other high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who we have been perfected, who has been perfected forever. Ah, thank you, God, for your word. I know you are serving your word in these moments. Now get this. So Jesus 2,000 years ago was nailed to a cross as a sinless man, the only sinless person that ever lived. And he came as the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't come to preach, to teach, or to heal. Although we're glad he taught, preached, and healed. He came to die for sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Romans 5:21. So God, through Christ, so when Christ was on the cross, what happened? Isaiah says, and the Lord has put on him the iniquity of us all. God gathered up the sin of the world, past, present, and future, and threw it on his Son. And Jesus cried out, my Father, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? He felt separation from God the moment sin was infused to him, was imparted to him. Now, Jesus didn't become a sinner, but Jesus became burdened with our sin. Still perfect, sinless, but now carrying the sin of the world. So the good news is you've won the lottery. See, the good news to the world is you don't have to beg God to save you. He's already saved you. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. 2,000 years ago, his Son died for you. And the good news is, get what he died to give you. Get what God had. Here's your lottery ticket. Jesus took your place so you could go to heaven and heaven could come to you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Okay, now I want to focus now. So here comes Melchizedek, which is Christ. Christophany, okay. Here comes, and he's a priest, but his name is King. Like I said, forbidden that those two things marry, except God always had the idea, the concept, the dream to raise up a generation of kings and priests. The dream team. God's raising your part of the last day church, kings and queens, priests before God. Here's what first in your notes, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, kings and priests. Amen. A holy nation, that you might show forth the praises of him. A chosen people, that you might show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's always God's dream. Revelation 1, chapter 5. Read with me. This is so beautiful. As Christ once again declares his intention. Verse 5. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him that loved us, someone shout, he loves us. How do we know? He washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed me from something, but then he washed me to something. And has made us kings and priests to God the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Chapter 5, they sing a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, open its seals. Last day church, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to God, and we will bring your kingdom to the earth. We will reign. Father, you are holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You're anointed to change the world. Now, here's the problem. The church is pretty good about the priestly ministry of Christ and the New Testament church. Worship, man, do we worship today? Praying to God. But we haven't been as good about the kingly side. And the kingly side is when you represent God's interests by carrying his power and authority and commanding things to change. We are not victims, we're victors. We don't ask God for the victory, we have the victory. We're not searching for the victory, we're living the victory. We don't move to victory, we move from victory. That's what Christ has done for us. So this idea of kings and priests, this is God's great dream. So I put it in your notes. See, kings, what do kings have? The gifts of the Spirit. They're all power gifts. The gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians 12. What, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, working of miracles, gifts of healing and supernatural faith. They're all power. Someone say power. They're power. So you meet people and they say, well, you know, we just need to be humble. Yes, we should be humble and powerful. Humility without power is weakness. Power without humility is pride, arrogance. God doesn't want it. So the priesthood side of your life is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. So what does that mean? The fruit of the Spirit make me like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit let me do the works of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to quote myself today. The fruit of the Spirit makes me like Jesus. The gifts of the Spirit allow me to do the works of Jesus. See, whenever someone gets lopsided, let's say they're lopsided. Well, Pastor, we just need more purity. Yes, we do. We need purity and power. But if we're always so introspective, always analyzing ourselves, always trying to be more perfected, and we're missing the journey of transformational kingdom living, we're lopsided. We have one strong arm and one weak arm. We have one wing in flight and one wing not. We're two winged, we're eagles, kings and priests. You're a history maker, you're a world shaker. God's anointed you as his sons and daughters to be kings and queens, to be priests. Don't you love any place you can be riding your car, start worshiping God, your priestly anointing. Worship and praise, adoration, amen. Any place you go. At the same way, so if we come to church today, we worship as priests. Because there's only one king here, it's Jesus. Amen? This is his kingdom, he's the king. So we worship him. But on our way out, he stands at the door. He hands you your crown. Don't forget your crown. Get your thinking right. Don't forget your sword. Use my word to drive the devil. Don't forget my scepter of wisdom. Go reign in the earth. Reign in this earth, and then reign in that earth. Everything you conquer in here, you can conquer out there. When the kingdom comes to you, it can come through you. Get this now. This is God's dream in the last days. We have to not think as victims. Oh, they're picking on Christians. Ain't it great? Jesus said, you're blessed when people speak all manner of evil against you. Listen, any fight the devil picks, God's going to win. The devil may start it, but Jesus is going to finish it. I read the last page. We win. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So look at the little chart. So the next thing beyond those things in your notes, you see the little chart I made about kings and priests. Number two, kings have authority. Priests have humility. Authority, humility. They're not dichotomous. They work together. The more you're submitted to God, the more authority he can trust you with. the more authority you function in. Have you ever met an arrogant Christian? So they know who they are in Christ, but they don't have humility. They're lacking their Christ-likeness. So we want both of those things together. Authority. Someone say authority. Jesus said, I give you it, the power. Go wreck the world. Go drive the devil out. Go transform cities. I give you the power. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive power. And everywhere you go, you'll change it. You'll witness for me a heavenly reality. I worry about this. The church of this hour thinks the devil's winning. What are we going to do? We're going to win. We're going to overcome. We're overcomers. What do overcomers do? Overcome. What do overcomers have to face? Lots of junk. You're destined to win. Third thing, kings have boldness. Priests have prayerfulness. Boldness. If you want to offend a religious person, be bold. In the name of Jesus. So people ask me to pray for someone sick. I never say, God, merciful God. We ask for a dewdrop of mercy to fall on the forehead of this afflicted one. If it be thy will, that's a priest who doesn't know their kingly anointing. Jesus never said, ask God to heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. Ooh. Lay hands upon the sick. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He did not say, God, if it be your will. Well, Pastor, not everybody gets healed. I know not everybody gets saved. So what? I'm not going to stop praying for people because I'm not batting 1,000% yet. But I've seen what's coming. And what's coming is something we've never seen. It's because of worship, we're going to see waves of glory come into the environments of the church where every sick person's healed. And then from a few blocks out, then a mile out, every house around the church for a mile will get healed. A glory's coming we've never seen before. An anointing, the fullness of what God's always meant for the church to carry. Kings and priests, 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 kings and priests. I was at 19th Avenue when we began our church. I was praying because I bought that church by faith, $6 million with 100 people. So I was all excited when I bought it until after I bought it. What have I done? So I was praying one day in the front row, kneeling down before God, praying for the nations. And I come for money. When I pray about money, it was like, oh God, you know I'm a good man. You know I'm doing a good work. This is your work. I ask you to please help us with our finance. You know, I was pleading and he just interrupted me. It was like someone shouted at me. And he said, stop begging me for money. I've only been rebuked by God verbally a couple times. And I was stunned. So my first thought was, who am I supposed to beg then? See, we've been raised as orphans. Help, please, help, please, help, please. The church, please spare, can you spare a morsel? And I said, okay, what do I do? And the Lord said, tell the devil to let go of anything you need to bring my son to the city. Come on now. You're sitting in a building we didn't pay a penny for. It's worth quite a bit of money. When I started praying differently, things started happening differently. Everything you need to fulfill your destiny, you have authority to release. Last thing. So kings, the seven mountains. So we talk about the kingdom in terms of the seven mountains. The seven mountains of culture represent every kind of segment and sphere of life. So those seven things are family, church, business, government, education, arts, and media. So every nation and every place, people operate in those one of those seven spheres or many. So in the Seven Mountain strategy, Jesus said, go disciple nations. Go change the way nations behave. Now, just for a moment, this isn't political, it's spiritual. Islam is not a religion, it's a kingdom. In their kingdom, their main focus is world domination. While they're contending for the world, the church is begging to go to heaven. And all they have is a murderous God that makes them horrific. See, good people, when they believe a bad thing, do bad things because you become like the God you worship. We've got to get our minds right about our assignment. You have unstoppable authority in every mountain God's called you. You have a destiny in the mountains of culture. You have a destiny in the mountains. And that means the devil can't stop you. The only thing that can stop you is you. Not believing who you are. Not believing in the authority God gives you. For example, in your family, the devil does not have more power than you in your family. You have authority in your family to tell the devil he can't have your kids, your spouse, you have authority by the blood and name of Jesus. If you're called to business, you have authority in the realm of business to make things happen. To see souls saved, to see righteousness exalted, to see resources released. If you're called to the mountain of church, you have authority. If you're called to the mountain of government, you have authority. You have authority, you're a king, but you also have to be a priest. So, because every mountain has a stronghold. And the things you don't conquer at the bottom of the mountain will rule over you at the top of the mountain. See, the reason why God's working on some stuff in you now, he's trying to take you someplace. And if you'll let him get that thing out of you, he'll bring something new into you and he'll lift you. The stronghold over family is discouragement. Stronghold over church is pride. Stronghold over business is greed. Stronghold over government is corruption. Stronghold over education is humanism, which is man is God. Liberalism declares war against Christianity because they're their own God. The stronghold over arts is immorality. Stronghold over media is fear. So you have to conquer the stronghold in your life before you can conquer the stronghold in a mountain. Jesus, he's been getting you ready for something. He's proud of you for submitting. He's proud of you for hungering. He's proud of you for being open-hearted and letting him deal with stuff. He's excited because it's not just becoming holy. He gives you holiness so he can operate authority through you at a new level. You're a king. You're a priest. Come on, stand in the feet. Give God a praise this morning. Come on. Someone shout, I'm a king and priest. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Forgive me for going, I covered a lot of turf there. But here's what I want you to know. God's got you exactly where he wants you. And he's in control of your life. Would you all bow your heads for just a moment as we close this service? The prayer team comes forward. Worship team prepares. Thank you for joining us today in our special Christmas worship day. For us at CFTN, our worship services are all that good. These guys are just incredible up here. But would you bow your heads for a minute? Close your eyes. If you're a Christian, would you pray for those sitting around you? If you've come here today by invitation, or maybe you've been coming and checking us out for a while, we're so glad you're with us. Today, we don't care about your church membership. We don't care about what denomination you belong to. The only thing we care about is where you stand with Jesus Christ. God so loved this world, John 3 says, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, if you've never received the free gift of eternal life, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to change. He'll change you. You just have to receive the forgiveness of sins, the reason why Christ came. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you've been away from God. When I was a boy in church, they used to call it being backslidden. But God's calling you. Today, just like we sang, today, come home, welcome home. Welcome home, the theme of our worship today, welcome home. If you say, Pastor, I'm going to say a public prayer, then we're going to close. But if you say, Pastor, please include me in this prayer. Today, I'm going to invite Christ into my life. Would you please hold up your hand while no one else is looking around and say, Pastor, today's the day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, yeah, keep waving at me until I see it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, dozens of hands are going, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, yes, yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, guys, thank you. Awesome, thank you. Wonderful, man. Jesus, how special. This was the whole focus of today. Souls coming to you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, guys. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My heart's swelling with joy looking at all these lights. I'm going to ask all of you to say this prayer with me. Would you say this prayer with me? You that raise your hand and just make this your prayer today. Please repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, today I surrender my life and open my heart to your Son, Jesus Christ. I turn from my past. I repent of my sin. And I boldly declare that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sin. Thank you for coming into my heart. Thank you for all you've done for me. From this day on, I will follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, thank the Lord. A whole bunch of people just prayed that. Come on, a whole bunch of people just prayed that prayer. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. You folks that raise your hands, we're going to have a water baptism in January. We want to get you baptized in water following Christ. And we have all kinds of classes, and we'd love to talk to you more. Tell someone either you came with or tell someone up front. If you have time, just come and tell us for a minute at the altar. We'd love to help you in any way we can. As we close today, God told me this morning, he said, son, I'm going to heal people who've been bound and broken. Tell anyone who's come to church broken today, or anyone who's come to church bound today, that they're not going to go into next year the way they lived this year. That I'm going to do a miracle for them at the end of 2015. And if that's you and you're believing God, the Lord spoke to me, this was your day for your brokenness to be healed, for bondages to be broken off your life. If that's you, would you please come down forward? Anyone that needs physical healing, we'd like to pray for you also. Everyone that raised your hands to receive Christ, would you please come forward too? If you're believing today for healing, for brokenness, or freedom from bondage, come forward. Doesn't matter what it is, let Jesus touch you. This is your day. Just for a moment, worship the Lord.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am.
Awesome.
It's who I am.
Listen. There's someone here that the devil's been tormenting you by telling you, because of a physical disruption, that you're dying. The Lord told me to tell you that's a lie. There are two people here that have been worried they're dying. I rebuke that lie and declare life to you in Christ's name. God isn't finished with your story. Come on. You're perfect. You're perfect in all of your ways. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. You're perfect.
Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
One more time, sing it. You're perfect, God. We love you. Mary and I love you. You're an awesome church. Don't forget our Bistro being open Wednesday night at ministry.